This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Live and learn, right? Like I said, it is a young group that probably is going to get younger, right, with time. But it's a good learning experience, not only for them, but for us as a coaching staff to see how they react to certain situations, see what we can do in the off season to put him in a better spot. And I truly believe that, you know, if this is, you know, the struggle, right, I think it's the last time we're going to struggle. We're going to be a force again sooner rather than later.
That's all it took to charm Andy Hart.
I'm ready to run through a wall.
WEEI Afternoons, hour number two. Christian Arcand Hart here with you. We talked to Alex Cora for the last time this season anyway, yesterday.
Well, he could call in just randomly.
Anytime he wants to. The phone lines are open, Alex. Yeah. We got room for you, my friend. Of course.
Always. We'll move you right to the top of the list. We won't make you wait. You're no Paul
Cora
in Providence.
Cora calls in. He's like, can I get on the air? What show do you want to call? He's like, ooh, I don't know what it's called.
It's that one. They used to talk to me. It's usually on in the afternoon.
Don't know if they have a name.
It's got the guy, the one guy, and then the other guy.
Yeah,
the one guy called me Skip.
You're right. I didn't like that. So whatever, that guy, the Skipper guy.
Give me the Skipper.
Let me talk to the Skipper. 6-1. It was a good. I mean, listen. It was almost like defiant in a way. Like, you know, we're not bad. We're not a bad team. What you saw isn't a bad team, and this is the last time you're ever going to see us like this.
Yeah.
This was not what we are. This is, you know, the last time that you're going to see us in this position. Which, you know, considering it's the way the last three seasons have gone, is kind of a bold statement to make.
And that's why I differ with him a little bit, because I don't think they blew it. But if he would be defiant, because he thinks they blew it. He thinks they're better than this. He thinks they should be playing in October. He thinks they are a playoff
team.
He
thinks they blew it.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and
he said it a bunch of times.
He knows it as much as anybody. Like, he's as close to that team as anybody. And they asked Craig Breslow that. Chris Curtis asked him, did you think this team could win a World Series as it was built? And Breslow, as you said, had a word salad. I personally would have just said, yeah, I built a team. And I think at various portions this year, the lineup was the best in baseball. The starting pitching was good enough to win.
Mm-hmm.
And when the bullpen was working, it was working. Now, there were injuries and it fell apart. Yeah, I think at our best, we were good enough to make the playoffs. And
any team that's good enough to make the playoffs can win the World Series.
Exactly.
I
and I don't know why he didn't say that. He said other words.
It's like calculating answer.
Yeah.
617-779-7937.
I would not run through a wall after listening to Craig Breslow speak.
No, not quite as...
no chance.
Not quite as...
First, I'd have to wake up.
Much of a pump up there. Yes, you'd have to be woken out of your nap. Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island as we continue our Red Sox discussion. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's up?
I like that interview with Cora. I was wondering, you know, hopefully he knows something that we don't. And when he signed, they were saying, you know, we're going to go spend, because the whole, like, we got these young guys thing is, I mean, you can only pull that rabbit out of the hat so many times before it gets old. But I also like to say, with all the interviews, I don't know, I'm scoring at home. I have the interviewee saying, great question. I have Arcand 4, Hart 0, but I still love you.
Oh, you're full of crap.
Well, that's not true. You've gotten a couple of great
absolutely
questions.
Thank
Maybe
you.
He's just talking about Alex Cora?
No, but because I've got him from him, too.
You got one from him, I think. Yeah, that's right.
I know for a fact I have, because I listened to Stiz when he was looking for some audio, and he said, great question.
Mm-hmm.
So screw you, Matt.
Yeah, Matt, I think you miscounted. I think I have more, but I do think you miscounted.
I don't think you have more.
You sold them.
If we're counting the number of times that the manager wanted to hate me and kill me, it's Arcand 1, Hart 0.
Yeah, well, I take that as a badge of honor.
You called him Skipper.
Yeah.
Be like if you told me you hate being called Christian and I call you Christian.
Yeah, but no one ever told me that. I didn't know that.
How did I know it and you didn't?
That's a good question. It should be something I knew.
I was a fill-in part-timer. Like, you interviewed the guy for a year and a half.
It never came up.
You know why it never came up?
Yeah.
Because everyone knew he doesn't like to be called that.
I was trying to be different, I guess, but
I didn't. His little awkward laugh after you first called him that, though, was so funny.
Skippy's like, what are you, an a-hole?
I think he was contemplating hanging up or something.
Yeah, maybe.
I think there was some of that. It reminded me of Belichick with Lou when they had their tete-a-tete for a while
Yeah.
And Bill had some, like, clear, no, we're not doing that. You're not doing that kind of moments.
Mm-hmm.
So you were going down that road, but you saved it. I give you credit. You're a true professional. You saved it.
I certainly am. Tom is also in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Tom. Tom.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
What's up?
You're on.
Tom.
All right. Perfect. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Quick question. Is Devers untradeable or untouchable?
Is who untouchable? Devers?
No, he's probably more untradeable than he is untouchable.
He's probably untradeable. I don't know that you're going to... I mean, maybe not. I mean, he's a power hitter. He's a power-hitting left-hander who plays
in the infield.
He's
been on 28 home runs for 17 days.
All right,
or whatever
well, 30-ish home runs is considered a power hitter.
Now we're rounding up.
Yes, we are. We're rounding
up.
He
has two bad shoulders. He's not in the greatest shape. People wonder what position he's going to eventually play. I'm not sure how tradable he is.
Maybe not. Why, Tom? Why do you ask?
You think Seattle would grab him?
Maybe. Seattle needs help. They need a lot of power hitting
help. We're getting one of their pitchers?
I would love that.
Straight up?
Be fine with me.
And they're taking the full salary? We're not eating. I'm sick of eating
salary.
I'll
eat the salary. I don't care.
No,
I'll eat the salary.
I'm done eating salaries.
Well, it's not your money. What do you care?
Because then I feel
so
like...
So what?
No, I feel like they use that as an excuse for why they can't spend elsewhere.
They'll use any excuse for that. I just traded Chris Sale, paid his salary. They don't care about
that.
Yeah,
but that was a little different.
Is it?
Yeah, a little bit.
How so?
Because people wanted to. Everybody would have done that. All you people listening would have done that.
I'd trade Devers for one of those Seattle pitchers right now.
And pay.
And pay whatever. I mean, honestly.
And pay $20 million a year of his salary so they only pay 10?
15, I'd do.
I would not.
I'd go 50-50.
I would not. You told me he's going to get in shape and be a good DH for the rest of his career.
I didn't say that. I did not say that.
You sure?
I promise you I didn't say
that. One of those weird bitching hours where you lose your mind a little bit.
Where I just will say anything just to argue with you. I don't think I said that. And I don't believe that. I'm
so
saying right now I don't believe that.
You don't love Devers.
No, I don't love him. I think he's a good player on a bad team. And usually I'm into trading those guys.
Not a great player.
I don't think he's a great
player. Because he got votes. Remember that midseason player poll thing where most overrated player, he got votes.
Yeah, I think Duran clearly passed him this year. I think he's still a good, reliable power hitter for the most part. 28 home runs and 83 RBIs, not his career best or anything like that, but you can count on that kind of production from him year in and year out. And that's not nothing to me. Like, I consider that to be significant. So, yeah, it doesn't seem like he's getting any better. It doesn't seem like the stock is rising with Rafael Devers, and that's when you start thinking about trading guys like that, especially when they're making a ton of money. But again, if it's a money thing, then go out and sign people. Like, you know, like don't make it about that and paying off half the salary. Like, go out and use that money on another player. Go out and use that money on a pitcher. I'd rather they did that.
Yeah, I would take a Seattle pitcher, pretty much any of you, just say pick one of them. I don't love the idea of trading Devers at all, and certainly not if I'm paying salary. So now, if we really boil it down even further, the old trifecta of Bogarts, Betts, Devers, I get rid of all three of them. I'm paying one of them to not be here, and I get one pitcher in return.
Yeah.
And Connor Wong and, well, you know, whatever minimal other return on investment.
Wong, Verdugo, and
Verdugo's gone.
Jeter Downs, who's also gone.
Yeah, he gone. He never did anything.
Yep. Connor Wong's been productive, but it took a while for him to become, like, even part of a platoon with the catcher. And I don't know. I mean, Connor Wong or Mookie Betts, like, it's not really much of a decision there. Guys like Luis Castillo, by the way, making $24.15 million. You trade Devers for someone like him? I mean,
I would not.
I would.
I can find. I'd rather trade. We had a texter from the 413 that kept coming up with Mayer trades. Marcelo Mayer, trade him for Gilbert, Kirby. He had earlier one, Crochet, Miller. I would trade. Now, I don't think you could trade Marcelo Mayer straight up for any of these guys. You're probably gonna have to package something.
Probably not. Yeah.
Especially with the injury.
That hurt him.
That would definitely be a concern for everybody involved. But I'm looking to trade prospects for a starting pitcher. I'm looking to sign a power hitter. Mm-hmm. That's where Bregman has been thrown out there, and that involves Devers moving around. And then I'm looking to do those other trades to fill out my roster, fit the bullpen. I feel like some of those trades, you could fill out a bullpen by doing the other moves. Ah, we're paying Yoshida's salary, but we get a relief arm back or a young arm back. Like, I feel like you could fill out that way. That's my plan of attack. Real quick aside, because you know I'm a bit of a squirrel guy. I get distracted easily.
You do, yes.
Last night I was watching the Red Sox. Part of my job, brag.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Addison Barger, their third baseman for Toronto,
has
the strongest arm I've ever seen in an infield.
I don't notice that, but okay.
He threw an absolute rocket last night. And it was... You don't get wowed. Do you watch and get wowed very often by a throw in the infield? Like, it's
in
almost
the infield, not
almost
really,
never.
No. Unless it's like a great play, you know, a guy dives to his left and then gets up on his knees and throws it or something like that. Guy diving in the hole and throws it across his body, leaping.
Do whatever I try to do it from third to first because it's much longer than it looks. And you remember from like, and it's much longer than
I remember
it being in Babe Ruth, you know?
I was a misplaced high school third baseman who should have never been there and made a costly error to lose a playoff game. It was hell.
My last play in Babe Ruth baseball was getting picked off at first in the championship game.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Uh-huh.
Those are two really sad stories.
No, I really...
you lost...
It's the low light of my...
You lost the state championship?
Not state championship. We were the number one seed. I believe we hosted Brockton at our field.
Wow.
And a ground ball to third, and I threw it over first base by probably 17 feet.
You were just too pumped up. It was
No, I think I had no faith in my arm, and I hated third. Hated it with a passion for the reason Jackson said.
But you were out there. You must have been a good player. You were out there.
Not good enough to win the game for my team and do the right thing. And then the worst part was, I'll never forget this, God rest her soul, Miss Lack, gym teacher. I missed gym for some reason and had to, like, do makeup work, and she goes, write a report on how you felt when you made that error.
Oh,
and
I was man.
Like, you cruel, cruel woman.
Wow.
It was awful.
Did you have to write a report about getting picked off first base, Jackson?
No, I just had to hang my head in shame. And that was bad. That was my last play of my baseball career, pretty much.
Stacey, do you have an embarrassing sports story?
No, I was a stud.
I actually had the opposite of Jackson. The first time I got on base in a varsity game, I got picked off. Bishop Hendrick in high school in Rhode Island, I remember it. I looked down to
fix... Did you get picked off by Pete Shepard?
No, I don't think we were the same.
That's where he went, I think.
But I looked down to fix my sock for some reason about 6 feet off the bag. And when I looked up, the first baseman had the ball the guy threw over. And I was like, what a jackass.
Yeah, I'm like 8 feet tall, but I'm really slow. So I took way too big of a lead. And I was just toast.
It'd be a step and a dive.
Yeah,
a step and a dive.
You would think so.
Step and a dive.
I defy the laws of gravity and physics somehow.
Well, at least you got on base. I just struck out all the time.
That is the positive part. Our stories involve being on base.
This is true. Yeah, we were somewhat productive. Yeah.
You were out there. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, Dante Scarnecchia thinks it's time to play Drake May. ESPN released their list of the top backup quarterbacks in the league. You'll never guess who's number one. And we'll talk with Tommy Kern. That's all coming up right after Stiz tells you what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up with what's trending right now. The Red Sox now officially eliminated from playoff contention after losing to the Blue Jays 6-1 last night in Toronto. The Red Sox have the day off today. They will close out their season three with a three-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays starting tomorrow night. First pitch from Fenway Park at 7 p.m. all across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's Perfecting the Art of Fresh. Our coverage will begin at 6 p.m. with the MassMutual pregame show. The Bruins preseason continues tonight. The Bees are in New York taking on the Rangers. Puck drops at 7 p.m. from Madison Square Garden. Patriots back on the practice field right now as they continue to get ready for their Week 3 tilt on the road against the 49ers. Mike Onwenu and Jabril Peppers, both full participants in yesterday's practice. And Week 4 in the NFL kicks off tonight. The Cowboys are in New York taking on the Giants, kickoff at 8:15. Don't forget, you can catch that game right here on WEEI. Our Westwood One coverage begins at 7:30, or download the Odyssey app and you can take us wherever you go. I'm Stiz, that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
So, coming up.
This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
And why isn't May in there? Give him a shot. What do you think of the way the approach is right now?
I think it's the appropriate approach. I also think at some point in this season, Drake May is going to be out there. I just do.
I said
it because you're going to want, look at, I think it, you want to be able to go through this year, it seems to me, and say, yep, we got the guy we want. Okay. And then take all your resources and throw them into making a lot of other things better. So how are you going to know that? You're going to have to find out at some point. And I would suspect, and I don't know if there's a plan for this, obviously, because I don't go over there, but I would suspect that there, you know, at some point he'll be out there and you know, we kind of like the things we've seen, you know, what is he? Is, you know, we're going to find out at some point. So I think everyone will get their wishes, and those that want Drake out there, and ultimately, I think it'll happen.
That was Dante Scarnecchia with Tommy Kern, Patriots Talk podcast, I believe. Is that what he was on? Was it the podcast or was that on TV?
I believe it was the podcast and TV.
It was the podcast. All right.
Sometimes they double up.
Soon as I said it, I was like, wait, I don't know for sure that what I'm saying is true. Right
there was video to it.
There was video.
Yeah.
There's video for that.
So it might have been on Quick Slants, too.
Okay. Anyway, that was the great Dante Scarnecchia, offensive line coach for the Patriots for years and years and years. They did win a Super Bowl without him when it was the Guglielmo, and then he got fired, and Scarnecchia came back, and they won again. And he was there in the 80s. Like, Scarnecchia predates Belichick. He predates Parcells. Like, he goes way, 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 way back. And he thinks that May's going to be out there. One thing that happened in the very beginning of that clip, though, is something that I feel we need to address, and you just pointed it out to me, Andy, and it's something that we need to call attention to here. When we interview Tommy Kern, and when the Midday Show interviews him, he's great. I mean, Tommy Kern, top-notch guest, knows his football, obviously. He's one of the best interviews. But he does have this habit of pausing for inordinate, like, weird amounts of time. You don't know if he's done talking. Sometimes he pauses and then he keeps going, and you're never really sure if you should jump in or not because it's just these weird Tommy Kern pauses. Well, Tommy Kern got a taste of his own medicine, and that medicine was Dante Scarnecchia. Listen to this again.
And why isn't May in there? Give him a shot. What do you think of the way the approach is right now?
So, and that was sort of cut together there, but there was a long pause for Dante, and then he jumped right back in as he was starting to ask the question again. So,
and it screws everything up.
It does.
Because either as the guy asking the question, it seems like you weren't paying attention.
Right.
So now there's dead air question. Or you start asking a question and Curran's still talking.
Right.
So now we got two people talking.
Of course.
So clean it up. Tighten it up.
And it just, you know, an example of that.
Yeah.
Some might say.
Because you're going to want, look at.
See?
Dante just powers through.
Gotta keep going.
Plus, let the legend speak.
Right.
Man's a goat. One of the great goats of this generation of football coaches.
True. Even though they did win without him, like right after he retired the first time, they did win immediately right after that, I think, right?
Why you got to crap all over him?
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, for as great as he was.
He was great.
They did win right after he left, you know, and then they did.
They didn't win because of Dave DeGuglielmo and his offensive line.
No, but he was able to keep it going.
Wasn't that the Seattle Super Bowl?
Was it the Seattle or the Atlanta Super Bowl? I thought he left in 2015. And then they won with DeGuglielmo in 2018 or 2016.
Maybe.
And then maybe I have the time off. I may be wrong about that.
But I will not allow you to slander the great Dante Scarnecchia.
I think Dante Scarnecchia is a great coach, but there were some times where the offensive line ended up costing them Super Bowl. I mean, that, you know, most of the times in the Brady era when they lost in the playoffs, it was because they were getting to Brady. It was because the offensive line broke down. That happened in two Super Bowls against the Giants. That happened against the Broncos a bunch of times.
Like Dante was not there for the Broncos one.
He was not in 2015? Right. Okay, so maybe you're right then. Maybe that was it was after that. Because the Broncos was 2015, right?
Because that's he came back after that. Because I remember people asking him, like, when you look at the tape of that, what'd you see? And he said, I saw a historically good defense that wasn't going to be stopped by almost any offensive line that day, or something to that effect.
Brian Stork was doing the thing. Remember, Brian Stork kept
And Brian Stork wasn't great. Brian
I heard he was a bit of a jerk.
Biggest dink in the history of that locker room.
Seriously?
Oh
In the history of the locker room?
I think he was.
We're watching a documentary right now. Well, not a documentary. Oh, no, but showing FX about a guy.
No, I'm not saying he was a murderer, but just a total social dink. He was one of the worst people you could be around. That would do jerky things, like to be a jerk intentionally. Yeah.
Such as?
Like roll over people and like pulling his suitcase. He'd like roll it over your feet intentionally just to be a jackass.
That's a mean thing to do.
He was such a dink. No, he was a bully.
Huh.
He was absolutely a bully.
Fourth round pick, he kind of had to be, right? Like, you know,
I mean, Fresno
State, that's how he probably got
Ted Karras was drafted later than that as one of the nicest human beings you'll ever meet.
It's true.
You don't have to be a dink. Your status doesn't make you a dink in any way.
No.
You know what makes you a dink? You're not a good person.
Being a dink.
And I still see him on my timeline because I never delete old players and stuff.
Brian
He's like
Stork
in real estate in Florida somewhere.
Oh, he tweets though?
Yeah, every once in a while there's like a tweet from Brian Stork and I'm like, you jackass.
Come check out this house here in Gainesville. And
I hated him. Everybody hated him. Every member of the media hated him.
I knew that. Someone told me that and I never thought about it again. But yeah, Brian Stork. And he was the reason why Von Miller and Malik Willis,
like tipping his pitches.
Malik Jackson and DeMarcus Ware and all those guys kept destroying Brady in that game.
And the other guy up the middle, who was the guy who had the real dirty comment? He like...
Oh, Wolf?
Yeah. It was like,
Wolf.
I always wanted to see what it felt to drag my nuts over Tom Brady or something like that, because he like sacked him and then like kind of like
rubbed over
him or something.
Was that Malik Jackson?
No, it was not. It was...
Broncos player.
It was a guy that played for the Ravens, too.
Huh.
It was a tatted up defensive lineman who also played for the Ravens.
Derek Wolf?
It might be
white
Derek
guy,
Wolf.
White guy?
I think so. Was he tatted up?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, it was him.
Yeah, okay.
And he said he'd like always wanted to see what it feel like to like drag his junk over Tom Brady.
Yeah. I tried to lay on him a few times. I tried to rub my junk in his face.
Yeah.
That is what
Look at this steel trap right here.
Mm-hmm.
What year was that?
It was Monday morning quarterback, but they're saying it was unnamed Broncos rusher, said after the game.
Oh, it was Wolf.
Okay, well, there you go.
I'm naming names.
Whatever.
That's what I'd always heard.
It was a long time ago. It was like 10 years ago. Big deal.
Steel trap, though. How about me? How about that?
Good memory.
Now,
good
if you ask me to remember other stuff, no chance.
Yeah, well, very obscure. As we learned from the midday show, obscure baseball players. I mean, that stuff pops right up.
Still coming in.
They're still coming in the text line
People
right
on, like, the rewind on
I'm
the app.
Driving in. I'm going, like, Travis Fryman. You know, I was going right along. You start thinking about random guys. For me, and also, I don't know if this is the case anymore, but you got real into baseball cards back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, 80s and 90s. It was a big baseball card era. It's not really anymore. And I feel like that was a good way to get more acclimated with players you didn't see on TV.
100%. Because of baseball cards and early fantasy baseball, I knew like every player in Major League Baseball. That's why Baseball Tonight was so popular. Everybody watched Baseball Tonight for that same reason. Like, see the home run, the dong report late and all that crap. That was a good days. Good
the
old
dong
days.
Dong report.
Yeah.
On ESPN.
Isn't that what it was called there, too?
I don't believe it was.
Oh, what was it called? When the little screaming baseball would get hit by the animated open?
Yeah. Wasn't the Dong Report.
They did every home run late in Baseball Tonight.
I don't think it was called the Dong Report, though.
Okay.
Well, I tried to rub my junk in his face.
You see?
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will continue with your phone calls in just a moment. Tommy Curran going to be joining us here momentarily. Is he good? All right. Then we'll get to him right now. Tom E. Curran with WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com, and by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Tommy Curran, how we doing?
What's up, buddy? Good afternoon.
And a good afternoon to you, too. I hope that this nice long break here in between games has been treating you well. And I know that it's been an interesting sort of week here for the Patriots at practice with this extra time after coming off of a tough loss. A lot has been made, Tommy, about the message and Jerod Mayo and sort of his ability to motivate these guys after a loss like this. Where would you say that level is right now as we get closer and closer to Sunday?
That's a key question, I think, Christian, going into this week, and we'll get our answer a little bit on Sunday. I mean, I can't really tell how motivated they are until they take the field and see how much they can rectify all of the issues, or at least some of the issues, both in performance, technique, and honestly, a little bit of effort from the last game. And that's one thing that I think the Patriots need to guard against in this year that we all understand is a bridge year and a building year, and their priority is a quarterback who's not playing and laying a foundation. These guys can't get, I guess, complacent, Andrew Hart. They can't get accepting of their plight and say, well, I mean, what did you expect? Of course we got our asses kicked with all the offensive linemen out and Aaron Rodgers dialed in. You know, of course we went out to San Francisco after they lost and got our asses kicked. So to me, I think that's something that's very important for Mayo to guard against any kind of loss of urgency toward this season as he builds the culture here.
Tom, I think everybody inside the building and outside the building agrees that for this Patriots offense to do whatever it's going to do, it has to run the football. The problem there is the guy that runs the football has not been doing a great job of holding on to it. Is that a significant concern in your mind?
It's a concern, but not significant. I just think that's one of those things, Andy, that you can control and fix. And we've seen it so many times. And those folks in the listening audience who remember Kevin Falk, Patriots Hall of Famer, he was a friggin' disaster. He was single-handedly responsible for 35 points. I remember adding it up in 2000. He was their lead back in 2000 when Charlie Weiss and Bill Belichick came in. He couldn't hold on to the ball. He fixed it. If this is, you know, an issue that is turning into a trend with Ramondre Stevenson, he can fix it. But it is right for them to mention it. And don't you find it interesting a little bit, too, the way Jerod Mayo can look at something and say, yeah, I'm seeing it, too. It's got to stop.
Yep.
In the way that Bill would talk around it.
Yep, I love it. The offensive line, the everything. I love just the matter-of-fact way that he acknowledges that, yeah, that elephant sitting in the corner is actually an elephant. We should probably get it out of here before it stomps on us.
Exactly. Yeah, pretty much sums it up.
All right. Well, with that in mind, the other big issue, and I think one that Mike Reese wrote about today as being the biggest issue on this team, offensive line and pass protection. Would you agree with that assessment that offensively it starts there and that's the main thing they have to fix this weekend?
1,000,000%. With coming up quietly on the outside, the lack of contain and edge setting defensively and the disastrous tackling, which shouldn't have gone away, but you can't play the game if you can't protect the quarterback and score points. You can't possibly even hope to score points. But I mean, same as it ever was. I love Mike, and Mike is one of my best friends, but, and I'm sure he would acknowledge this too, it's the same issue it's been for three friggin' years. Of course it's an issue.
Tom, there's that was one of those pregnant pauses that I wasn't sure whether there was more answer. Like,
well, engage me. I mean,
try not to talk over you because we both talk at the same time. Nobody can hear you.
Yeah, I didn't know if you had more there. It's never totally clear.
So, Tom, obviously the same damn topic has been the same damn topic for, you know, August, early September, the quarterback position. When are we going to see Drake May? You had a great interview with Dante this week that I truly appreciated. But the question I want to ask you is, a lot of people seem to think or assume now that Jerod Mayo wants to play Drake May, and it's either Elliot Wolf or Elliot Wolf combined with Alex Van Pelt that are slow playing it, and the ones in the background saying, no, he's not ready, we're not doing this, that's not the right time. Do you think there's any truth to that? Is there any sort of a divide between Mayo and Van Pelt Wolf?
I read Andrew Callahan's story. I wish I could quote from it right now, because I think that would be the most concrete example of someone saying what you're referring to. And Andrew says, yeah, I admit I'm cherry picking these quotes, and this is merely a gut instinct on what I believe, but I think he wants to start May. And I think that there is probably an element of Jerod Mayo that says, man, I can't watch this right now with Jacoby. Would it be a little bit better if we had Drake out there running around? And that is a tiny little, I think it's a tiny little devil on everyone's shoulder. And again, that's the transparency of Mayo is, you know, he won't totally slam the door and say, look, we have a plan. I told you we had a plan. We're sticking to the plan. No matter how enticing it might be when Jacoby's getting pummeled to think about would it look different if Drake May was running around making people miss, we're not doing that because it'll ruin him and it's going to end up with him back on the bench or looking like Sam Darnold or Mac Jones or Bryce Young. So no matter how tempting it is for all of us, we're not doing it. But he can't bring himself to do that, can he?
No, he can't. But I guess the question that still lingers there, Tommy, is ideally – What would the plan look like if everything went perfectly for the Patriots this year? When would we even see Drake May?
No, I don't think we would. I think if everything went perfectly for the Patriots, Christian, that would be a 9-8 team by the end of the year, and Jacoby Brissett was able to make every start, and the team was competitive, and the foundation was laid, and it looked like a good team. That's their best-case scenario. That's what they want to have happen. What's more likely to have happen is at some point they're going to get, and I use this as a random number, they're going to get to about six games under 500, 2-8, 1-7, 3-9, and they're going to say, you know what, we're pretty much mathematically eliminated here. I think we're ready to go ahead to Drake now. So I think it's a six game as opposed to a date.
Tom, on social media, there's like these two areas if you can kind of get lost in. One is Christian Gonzalez is a dominant young corner who shuts down every number one receiver he goes up against. The other, he stinks. He's the 114th graded corner in football or whatever the hell the actual number is from PFF. What is Christian Gonzalez right now? Which is closer to the truth? Is he dominant great or is he very much a work in progress?
He's a work in progress, but he's a ball of clay that was it's a very high quality, very high quality clay. He has at his disposal physical skills that very few players at that position have, and certainly nobody else on this team. He's long. He is incredibly effortless in the way that he accelerates. I think he's smart, although he doesn't talk enough for me to discern whether or not he truly is, but he doesn't seem to do anything really stupid. So I'm basing it on that. And he's, what, seven games into his career? Six and a half? That's all he's played. Mm-hmm. So I conclude that he is one of the most smooth-moving cornerbacks I think I've seen the Patriots have. If you want to compare him to Malcolm Butler, for instance, or – who was the other furious little corner that they had? Oh, J.C. Jackson. Mm. I would take a Christian Gonzalez type every single time. Just big, long, stealth, as opposed to those little Tasmanian devil corners that J.C. Jackson and Malcolm Butler were. So he's a very good player on a bad team. We'll see how good he is when they get good.
All right, it's now time for Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game, presented by FlexCar. Ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. Tommy, I feel like everybody's counting the Patriots out this weekend. It's a good Niners team, not a great one. They're 1-2 as well. What can the Patriots do? Can they compete in this game? Could they even win this game?
I'm going to have to put a flex out there that says absolutely not. The worst thing that could have happened to the Patriots last weekend actually happened, and that's the Rams came back and were gifted a game by the Niners. So now the Niners have full attention on the Patriots. And the flex of the game is delivered by Nick Bosa, who said, we have to feel this one, meaning the loss to the Rams. They didn't want to turn the page. They wanted to let it sink in how badly they blew that game. So bad spot for the Patriots against a team that is much more talented, despite its injuries.
All right, we'll leave it right there then. Tommy Curran, thanks so much for the time. As always, we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Okay, guys. See you later.
All right. That's Tommy Curran joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Quick break. When we come back, it's Bill Watch. Bill Watch tonight. We got two teams, Thursday Night Football, both on the Bill Watch. We'll get to that next.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
I want to say thanks again to Tommy Kern for joining us in that last segment. Always good to talk with him. If you missed any of that, you can find it on the Odyssey app, WEEI.com. Go back and take a listen. You can also see it posted at WEEI Afternoons on Twitter and on Instagram as well. We're all over the place. We've got a YouTube channel. We're on Twitch. Hi, Twitch. You can find
us. Hey, Twitches.
If you want to find us, you can find us. Very easy to do. By the way, speaking of things you can find, if you have Amazon Prime, you can find the Cowboys and the Giants tonight. That won't be on local Fox because it's not the Patriots playing, unfortunately. And I don't think the intro to the game is going to be quite as good as it was last week. But, I mean, how could it possibly be better?
There might be a good-looking human being in the role of local radio host one.
Doubtful. Anyway, if we were good-looking, we wouldn't be on the radio.
That's the point.
But one way or another, I'll tell you one person who's going to be looking at this game very, very closely, and that is Bill Belichick as we get into today's edition of Bill Watch.
Bill Watch.
I'd like to reiterate that we all worked very hard on that. We were in the studio for hours, Diz. Were we not? Hours.
Nailed it.
Hours. That cut, that one, not good. Do it again. We did it over and over again. It was like 500 takes, I think. Definitely not the first take of you, me, and it was Jacob. I think it's you, me, and Jacob in the Bill Watch there. Anyways.
That's classic. That will make me smirk every time.
It's funny.
Just like... There's also the one for Rich Keefe, Kiefer Madness. Hey, Keefe, you're a douche. Every single time I hear that, I chuckle.
It's pretty good.
I love it.
Bill Belichick watching Cowboys and Giants tonight. If the Giants beat the Cowboys, does McCarthy make it to the weekend?
I hope not.
I would say probably not. If they lose to the Giants and go to 1-3, that's it. I mean, you got it. They're firing that guy, I think.
I would hope so, and hiring Bill Belichick, and then I'll be collecting my bet with Rich Keefe. But
there you go.
One thing I can guarantee, if the Giants beat the Cowboys, you will see endless Bill Belichick memes tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. Social media.
Binoculars.
The binoculars, walking, or the marching out of Detroit, yep, or whatever.
Not shaking that kid's hand.
Oh, yep. The whole thing. That is going to be... And that is a different aspect. And I know Schefter kind of sidestepped it yesterday with us. He's like, I don't think it's going to happen, but it's the NFL. You can't rule it out,
right,
and whatever. I mean, Air Coryell was not Air Coryell when he was taking over in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bill Belichick is hovering. He's watching every game. He's
right.
Talking about, well, he's
every
talking
game
about
except
most
the Patriots.
Games, right? And... He's out there and he's looking, you love his eyebrows, and people are seeing how young and energetic he looks and fun, and he's hanging. And I just, that's a different pressure for these owners that do weird things, right? They get an idea, or they get a bee in their butt, like, I'm hiring Matt Rhule, and I don't care if I have to give him $70 million,
right,
or whatever the hell it,
yeah,
is, and he's never coached a single game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just...
Or Chip Kelly or something.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Once,
yeah,
there's an idea planted in these billionaire owners' heads, I'm not sure anybody can talk him out of it. And I just think that temptation of Bill Belichick being there, and then the pressure of the Cowboys and the age of Jerry Jones and the stuff that's going on. So you have a $60 million quarterback and a $30 million wide receiver who, I'm not sure exactly what's going on there between those two, but don't
they
you...
They were beefing on the sideline,
yes,
last week, yeah.
Don't you feel like if there's anyone you feel like you could throw into that and he would give it the, are we done here? It's Bill Belichick. Like, those guys might eat up anybody else, but I feel like if you're going to hope that they wouldn't eat up your new head coach that you hire midseason,
right,
that guy is Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I could see that. I could also see them looking at Bill Belichick and being like, yeah, you were good a long time ago, buddy, but we've been mopping the floor with you for 5 years.
Certainly a possibility.
You know, you're going to come in here and tell me what to do? No one even wanted you. You didn't have a job.
Certainly a possibility.
Right? Like, that could happen. I mean, I don't think it's 100% likely, but I just wonder if Bill walks in there with the same cachet as if he would have otherwise, you know, if he didn't have a gap
in his
resume.
Does he wear his rings?
Probably.
Because I got to wonder, do you do that? Like, I know there was talk Charlie Weiss did that.
Drop
at Notre
on
Dame.
The table, man.
Kinda.
Ba-boom, ba-boom. You want to win some
rings
of these? Boom, boom, boom.
You want to see all my rings? They're right here. Oh, you need to see the other hand if you want to see them all, kind of thing.
Zip. And Bill Russell.
We're not doing that.
No.
Although Jerry Jones would probably like it. He'd be like, that's 6.2.
Yeah, I like what you're doing over there.
Because he measures those, you know.
He sure does.
He does.
Yeah.
But no, like, I think that is
I feel like we didn't cover that enough.
I feel like it didn't get enough attention anywhere.
So Jamie Foxx, was it a practice or something with
It looked
Jerry
like
Jones?
A practice.
And Jerry Jones is just listing off the penis sizes of all the players on the team.
And Jamie Foxx is like live, and then he goes like,
and he's like, oh my God, oh,
I'll shut this off.
Yeah.
But the broadcast, not the 8.5, because that would be not good if he did that.
Lorena Bobbitt.
But don't you think, and I agree with you, but it's probably old news now for us to just bring up a lot of penis jokes.
I suppose.
On the air,
I mean,
whatever.
Sure, but
we missed that opportunity.
It did happen.
We'll live and learn. I mean, future shows will take more advantage of that.
Bill Belichick's going to be working for this guy.
And this is the video footage you're seeing now if you're watching on Twitch. You won't actually see any penises or anything. You'd have to watch the Hernandez doc.
No, we can't
doc.
Show that on Twitch?
No, but Hernandez doc has it.
That's true.
That first or second episode in the locker room at Florida.
Oh, that guy walked right up to him, yeah.
That was, yeah.
It's like playing chicken.
That was a lot going on there. But no, the Bill Belichick, to get back
like
to the serious.
Arm.
Okay. Let's stop. We said we weren't going to use this as an opportunity to.
You said that. I didn't say that.
Okay, that's
true. I didn't agree to that.
That's true. But don't you think Bill hovering is a unique thing?
Like, yes,
there's,
definitely.
It hasn't happened a lot. I don't know if there's other examples. I know Don Coryell, thanks to a texter, brought that up. That's fine.
But was he out there in the media? Like, was he wasn't considered the greatest
of
all time.
No, he was, like, but it was a different time. He was in the area.
Yeah.
And he was like, I told you, he was coaching something at San Diego State. So he was kind of like around town and football, and people were aware that he was available.
Right.
So on a smaller landscape, that's what happened. This is the biggest landscape where every team knows Bill Belichick's out there. Every fan, every owner, every GM, every player. And if their season's going down the crapper, I just think there's a temptation there for Jerry Jones. And isn't this the last year for McCarthy under contract? Wasn't that the other aspect? Oh, he doesn't like to pay
this
people.
Is his,
okay, so you pay a half
year.
A season.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He's just about done. Mm-hmm. And it's Bill Belichick. Are you really going to hold out till the offseason when you'll have to bid with others and there'll be other options?
No.
Right now, you can offer Bill a job with a talented team, with his dream defensive player of this generation to cover in Micah Parsons, who he said is like the closest thing to LT, and we all know Bill puts LT on a certain pedestal. I just think it makes too much sense. It really does. Because your season is dying on the vine, right? And you're so invested in this team. All the money you've spent to keep this team together, and there's more money coming because Parsons is going to get his.
Yep.
So you're wasting time. Why not Bill, and why not now?
Yeah, that's the type of thing that he would go for, too. If the Giants lose and they go to 1-3, I don't think Bill's going to be like, all right, I got to go to New York and coach the Giants. They might fire Daboll. I mean, I think that he's probably on the hot seat as well. I was thinking about Bill Walsh, because Walsh retired early, right? I mean, like, it was early-ish for him, and he said later he regretted retiring, and then he did media, and then the Patriots tried to lure him out. Remember when Raymond Berry got fired? They tried to bring him in, and instead they had to stick with, I think it was the Rod Rust year, but I remember that they did try, I don't remember it, but I remember reading about how they tried to lure Walsh out of retirement from media to come coach the Patriots. And in this analogy, I'd say that, you know, Belichick didn't leave too early. He may have hung on a little bit too long if he did anything. But he is in media right now. There is a team out there. I'm sure the Giants would take a look at it if they fire Brian Daboll. And that would be the type of job that, like Bill Walsh did with the Patriots, that Belichick would probably say, you know what, I used to love you, Giants, but I'm not doing that. I'll wait. I'll wait until the offseason. I'll wait for something better. I'll hold up out for something better than this.
So Bill Walsh retired at 57.
Okay.
Right around, which is pretty young.
Young,
now.
For sure. But
and,
as decorated as he was, too.
Of course, he was dead at 75. So
right.
Bill's pushing that number in Bill Walsh's life. But he came back at Stanford 92 to 94 as the head coach after he retired with the Niners. The record, and there's a lot of factors here. I just think from a Cowboys perspective, not as much. The Bill perspective, I think it would be good for Bill because I think it would take away his control freak desires and just force him to coach a pretty good football team. That we have to also remember, you're never really dead in the NFC East. Feels like some team wins that division on the final weekend with a 9-8 record every year. Or something.
Except Washington, but yes.
You know what I mean? Like
all the other teams.
It's always comes down to the wire, and so you can come back and take care of business, and it's just so talented. And then we've talked about the other aspects of it, maybe you can screw Robert a little bit by joining alliances with Jerry Jones and winning him another championship, and how about them Cowboys getting that on the net? And Jimmy Johnson loves him. They're boys.
Yep.
Be that fraternity.
Yeah, they go out fishing all the time.
So
right.
I feel like it just makes too much sense not to happen. If they lose tonight, which I don't think they will, probably. I think the Giants are a pretty bad team. I don't know that you're going to see that again. I don't know if Neighbors carry the Giants.
Neighbors goes crazy. I mean, that's the only way, yeah.
We'll see. I feel like that's...
I don't think they're going to win, but I also think the Cowboys find new ways to embarrass themselves like all
the
time.
True, that may be what necessitates Bill Belichick and a dramatic change. And plus,
I'm not betting on the Giants tonight, but I'm rooting for him.
I am rooting for him, too.
Yeah, I'm rooting
rooting for that because I need it for my Belichick. So
go get, that's exactly right.
Yeah,
go Big Bill. Blue. That's what I'm
Although,
rooting
for. Although, what are we going to do if Bill Watch is over? We'll just watch his games.
Yeah, we'll just keep playing that awesome piece of imaging we have just to make it something.
Bill Watch.
Yeah, there you go. That's high-quality voice work right there. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls. A lot of Patriots calls waiting patiently. We'll get to that in the next hour. And we'll also reset on the Red Sox, who were eliminated from playoff contention yesterday. The fallout from that and looking ahead to the future as well. It's all coming up next.